Who is God? If someone asked you to describe God in 30 seconds or less, what would you say? What are God's essential characteristics? How would you put in a nutshell what the Bible teaches about God? In the answer to the question, who is God, let's turn to Exodus 34. Our text for today is Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Two verses that describe God that can be read in about 30 seconds. So, who God is. Exodus 34. To give you a context of Exodus 34, God had delivered the Israelites from Egypt and brought them through the Red Sea and brought them to Mount Sinai, where they would receive God's law. Now Moses went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and was receiving God's law. The Israelites, however, were down at the base of the mountain, breaking almost every commandment that Moses was receiving on the Ten Commandments. And Moses went down and found all the sin in the Israelite camp. And in the next couple chapters, Exodus 32, 33, and 34, Moses is interceding for the sin of the people. So this is the context of this. Now, while Moses is talking to God, he's growing closer to God, getting to know more about God, and he wants to see more of who God is. He finally said to God, "Show me your glory," or "Show me the beauty of who you are." And God responded to Moses in Exodus 33, verses 19 to 23. So Exodus 33, 19 to 23. In response to, "Show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness or beauty to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." So Moses goes up into the mountain to meet with God. And in the next chapter, Exodus 34, verse 5. Exodus 34, verse 5 says, "Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation.'" Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. This is who God is. This is what God wants us to know about him. God first declares his name. He tells Moses, "I will declare my name and I will show you my beauty." So God first declares his name. The Lord, or Yahweh, Yahweh. This is the name revealed to Moses at the beginning of Exodus. This name shows that God is the self-existing one. He's dependent on no one. I am who I am. Yahweh is the faithful God who keeps his covenant with Israel. Our God is Yahweh. He will be the same throughout eternity. Our God is in heaven and does as he pleases. He is dependent on no one. Because he is dependent on no one, he is most dependable. God is also a God of love and toughness, as we see in verses 6 and 7. Or as we find in these verses, he is a merciful and a just God. He is merciful, that is, compassionate. He is gracious, that is, he's kind. These two words, merciful and gracious, are put together in the text so we could read, "A mercifully kind God." God is also slow to anger, or the text literally says he has a long nose. So let me explain. It says he's long of nose, which means the nose was a metaphor for passion and anger because this area of the face shows lots of emotion. So if you had a burning nose, that means you're really angry. If your nose burned, you meant you're really angry. But if you had a long nose, it meant you were slow to anger. We have the English word long-suffering, kind of related to that. So God is long-suffering. He's very slow to become angry, to burn against us for our sin. When we realize who God is and who we are, we will grow in wonder of God's long-suffering with us. God is also abounding in love and faithfulness. This love refers mainly to God's loyalty. Some translations will have loving kindness or steadfast love, as we read in Psalm 136, or his love, the same word, his loyal love endures forever. God's loyalty is seen as he keeps his covenant with Israel, even though they rebel against it. It is seen today as he shows mercy to his children, even though we rebel against him every day. This loyalty here is combined with faithfulness or trustworthiness. The Lord is faithfully trustworthy. This is who God is. And all God's children can testify to his faithfulness to us as he provides everything we need throughout our life, and he keeps every one of his promises to us. As the text continues, he preserves his loyal love to thousands or many generations of his children. This loyal love is expressed by his forgiveness of all sorts of sin. There's three words for sin here: transgressions against his law, outright rebellion against God, and the general foolish sin we as humans get involved with daily. Our God is a forgiving God. Now, because God is righteous, he must punish sin. As the text says, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. We are sinners not only because we perform acts of sin, but also because we are rebels against God in our very nature. Because God is holy and righteous, he must punish sin. All sin is rebellion against our holy Creator. Sin must be judged because of who God is. The text goes on and says, he avenges the iniquity of fathers on their children to the third and fourth generation. Now, this might seem kind of startling, but we must understand this in the context of the whole nation of Israel, in a corporate context. It says the iniquity of the fathers, plural. When Israel sinned corporately or as a nation, God judged the whole nation. Remember, Israel was God's chosen people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. They were given the law by God at Sinai. When the nation rebelled, the nation was punished. To give you an illustration of how this was carried out, many years before Israel was judged by being sent into exile, God sent prophets to warn them to turn back to God. Year after year, these prophets says, repent, turn back to God, follow him. This shows God's mercy and patience. But judgment finally came when Israel went into exile. The nation was judged, but the children felt the effects of their parents' sin as the children grew up in exile. So that's how it kind of worked out for the nation of Israel. When we read that the Lord avenges the iniquity of the fathers on their children, it refers primarily to God's work with a nation. Paul says in Romans 11, note then the kindness and the severity of God. We have in this text God's love and God's toughness. We must remember that God's self-revelation to Moses in these two verses is in a context of impending judgment. Israel had rebelled against God, and God threatened judgment against them. It is in this context that God says that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. We may want to shy away from the wrath of God against sin. However, we weaken God's mercy and grace when we dispense with his righteousness and judgment. It is his righteousness and wrath that make his mercy and grace very precious. Later in the service, we're going to consider what Christ has done for us. When Christ died for us, God displayed not only his love for sinners, but also satisfied God's judgment against sin. In Christ, God is both merciful and just. If we are in Christ, we are saved from God's wrath, and we are recipients of God's abundant grace. This is our God. Who is God? We're very eternally grateful for him, and we will eternally praise. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. And Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. And this is what we should do, respond in worship to who God is.